I have to tell you that Mindy initially sent out a list of the passages that we could do, and I was like, oh my gosh, the original legalist right here, I want to teach this. So I'm loving it, and it was really tough for me to go through because I had to ask myself some questions. So I want to first tell you a little bit about myself. I got saved when I was almost 20, and I was radically saved, like overnight transformed. And I didn't set out to have a checklist. I didn't set out with a list of things I was going to do or don't do, but it just happened. Like, I remember listening to music after I was saved, and I was horrified because it was like I heard the lyrics for the first time, and I was convicted that I needed to get rid of all my music, and I did. I got rid of it. So that is just one little example of really how I behaved. In fact, I was so radically changed that my family used to tell me to quit pretending because I was just completely a different person. So it took years. I've been saved now for 22 years. Wow. It did take years, though. I remember, honestly, probably about 5 years ago, my mom was sitting at the kitchen table, and she just looked around and said, wow, this is really who you are. And so I think amen and amen, right? So anyways, the reason why I feel like that's important to share is because I titled my teaching, The Trouble with Checklists. Is anybody a checklist person? Okay, confess this, please, because I know I'm not the only one. Do you ever do something, it wasn't on your checklist, you write it down so you can check it off? Yes! I love checklists. So it's totally me. I like to feel accomplished. And I have found that I had to evaluate myself. So last week when Mindy talked, she was talking about convictions, and she said very clearly, there's nothing wrong with convictions, and I actually hope that you have convictions, that the Lord teaches you things and draws you to certain conclusions that are for you. There is nothing wrong with that. And in our homework last week, we were talking about really the rules and the regulations that the church was putting on the people, but I feel like these verses, starting in verse 20, are really inward. They're the rules we put on ourselves, right? The regulations that we tell ourselves. I don't know if anybody knows My Fair Lady, but we like our rules. I like our rules because I'm a good girl, I am. I love that movie, sorry. So let's look at this. So therefore, Colossians 2:20, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And I just love that. So I love that Paul's warning really is about the things we tell ourselves we need to do or don't do, right? About that internal checklist. And when you take the time to confront those checklists, that's when you have to realize, you have to ask yourself, like, am I doing that? Am I creating that checklist for myself? Am I going through the motions? Because they really can rule us, and they really can convince us that we're right when we're really far from God, right? So I found myself before, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I found myself before, because every good Christian reads the Word every day. I'm doing my devotion every day. Check. 20 minutes later, what did I read? I don't know, but I did it, right? Very easy to do that and to create those checklists. So I cannot necessarily relate to don't eat, especially pork, I mean bacon, right? But there are things in my life that I can definitely relate to. I have raised my children, and I was a homeschool mom, and there was a time in my life, and I'm confessing this, that I felt like if you didn't homeschool your children, I'm not sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. That is a horrible thing to admit, and that's a terrible place to be when you start to do that and line up your convictions and compare it to other people, and it's not where God wants us, right? Because that's bondage. So and I think it's really easy to broad brush things when we look at them in generality. So when we're reading about them, especially when I can't relate to having struggles with what food to eat or what not to touch, I don't struggle with that. That's not our culture, right? So it's easy for me to read it and go, oh, yeah, okay, I get it, Paul. Good, you're telling them. Boy, it's good for them. But that's not how the Word of God, that was my opening prayer. God's Word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's going to pierce the heart and divide the bone and the marrow, right? So he wants to teach me something in this, even though I don't necessarily relate and understand having restrictions about what I'm eating. There are other things in my life that I've replaced those checklists with. So we did this in our homework. We read 1 Timothy 4, and it blows me away. So I'm going to read it again, just the first portion. So from 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. By the way, I love that. I did the teaching before I did the homework, but this was in there. That just was, to me, amen. Thank you. Okay, so I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance. No, I'm reading 2 Timothy. That's not right. Was everybody confused? I'm sorry. I was confused, too. There we go. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And already I stopped, and I was like, whoa, that's heavy. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Again, very heavy. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food, which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And I just stopped there and said, whoa, this is crazy to me. God is saying these are deceiving spirits and demons who are misleading them into not eating and putting on rules and regulations. So what's the big deal? Like, I literally had to stop and go, so what? Who cares if they're convicted to not eat that food and they live their life not touching certain things or not wanting to be unclean? But when you realize that God has always been more concerned with the heart, it makes much more sense. And I just think that you have to think about that and how heavy that was. That he is saying in the latter days, deceiving spirits and demons are going to deceive and mislead by something that seems so innocuous, by something that sort of seems, like Paul said, oh my gosh, I love the way he says it, self-imposed religion that have indeed an appearance of humility but are not. I think that's something that you really have to stop and think about. It's crazy to me, right? So the reason why it makes me stop and think is I think what they were doing, we learned about asceticism in our homework, and that was, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, that seemed like a term that doesn't apply again culturally. Did anybody feel that way when you read it? Like, okay, maybe it does in other religions, but not necessarily in the church. I don't necessarily see that. But then I had to go, wait a minute, Kasia. That's exactly what we do with our little checklist when we have things that we need to do in order to feel good about ourselves. Are you serving? I mean, you should be. We're reading in Romans about offering our body as a living sacrifice. But there is a difference between doing what you're compelled to do so that you look right and doing what the Lord convicts you to do. And that's what the relationship thing is all about. And that's what the heart is all about. So my question that I had to ask myself, and ask yourself these things, because I needed to find out, am I doing this? Am I putting these self-imposed religions on myself? And there were some questions I asked that I thought, oh dear, do I sometimes think that God owes me because I serve him? Because I'm serving in the children's ministry and I'll help with whatever event is happening and I find out somebody needs something and I'm going to do it. Do I act like that? Do I think that if I don't get my way, it's because, I mean, I'm shocked sometimes, right? Like, well, God, you didn't. I'm a good girl, I am, right? We have this little mentality with ourselves, and I think that's when we have to check our hearts and realize that God is not concerned with our doing. Yes, he wants us to be faithful and show me your works to show me your faith, but there is a huge difference by doing the doing in order to get closer to God. And that's really what asceticism is that trying to get holier, trying to be closer, trying to gain something more. It's really the cross plus something, right? And that's more shocking when you hear that, and that makes more sense when you realize the gravity of 1 Timothy that we just read, where God was clearly saying Satan is wanting to deceive you and mislead you. And he does it with sweet, flowery things that seem good, right? That keep us busy, but not really at the foot of the cross. So I have a friend, some of you guys even know this because you were there, but she recently admitted to a big group of ladies that she'd been taking communion in an unworthy manner. And that just made me stop and think, do I do that? I mean, like I said, do I do my daily devotion and I read in the Bible? Check. And I'm sorry, but I can do it often. It seems like the busier I am, oh, I didn't wake up early enough. Okay, well, let me just do it real quick. I mean, it's so sad that I do that because really I'm not cheating God, I'm cheating me, right? From that relationship? Do I act like my tithing and my serving and my doing all the right things and abstaining from spooky things on my porch at Halloween matter to the Lord? And sometimes I do. I mean, that's just the truth. And I have to give that to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. So God, Jesus has always been about the heart. And we looked at Mark in our homework, but I wrote down Matthew. It's the same passage in Matthew 15 when the Pharisees were testing Jesus and they were asking him lots of things, trying to stumble him. And he pointed out to them, he said, hypocrites, Matthew 15, 7 through 9, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching doctrines, the precepts of men. And then later in this chapter and also in Mark, like in our homework, that's when Jesus says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of his heart that defiles him. Clearly, God is always more concerned with the heart. That's why he picked David to be the king, because he saw the heart and nobody else did, right? It's why he's really harsh with the Pharisees. I feel like it seems to me he's the most harsh with the Pharisees. So I think the danger of the Pharisees, and this is funny, I asked for this microphone, but I can't see my notes, is it's a checklist, the religious checklist. It puffs up. And I think it gives us two extremes. It gives us the Pharisees, who are the whitewashed tombs, where we're like, over here, we're holier than thou, right? We look real good. Yes, we are. And I asked myself these questions. Do I find myself here sometimes acting like I'm better than so-and-so, or I deserve my prayer to be answered so-and-so? I don't know if anybody knows our story, but the past 2 years for my family, my husband was unemployed or underemployed. It was a tough financial year, and I felt like God was just saying, nope, 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 over and over and over. And you know what? That's when I had to face, but Lord, I do all this for you. I do this, so you should do this. Isn't that wrong? Exactly. I'm so glad that you got it, because that's exactly what I feel like the Lord was showing me, is the danger of these religious checklists and these religious rituals and things that we have to do because we feel like it adds to anything, because it really doesn't. Now, are there things that you are called to do? That's not what I'm saying, of course. I mean, even next week when we're in Colossians, further in chapter 3, he's going to detail the things we should not be. The lusts and the flesh and all of that we certainly need to put off. So we're not talking about that. We are just talking about the things that have an appearance of evil or of good and wisdom, but are really vain, right? So verse 23, I just loved it. Again, it says, these things have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So I love J. Vernon McGee. I love to listen to him on the radio. I think he's hysterical. His accent is adorable. And I have his commentary. He put it this way. He said, what we're dealing with here is pride that apes humility. Look at me. I'm really sprouting wings, and I shine my halo every morning. I mean, right? That's really what we're facing here, is when we start to do this little I'm better. Even if we never admit it to ourselves, I think there's a hint of it that we need to battle. So it's easy to separate ourselves and think, I'm not like them. Oh, I'm not like the Old Testament Israelites. I mean, God did all those miracles for them, and they were so thick-skulled they didn't get in. Have you ever done that? I have done that. And then I go, wait a minute, I'm the exact same way. The same lesson over and over. Even though manna never rained from heaven, hey, in 2 years of my husband being underemployed, not a single bill was late. Not a single grocery bill was reduced, right? God is faithful. So that term asceticism was one of those things that I just kept looking at going, well, I don't really relate to it. But when I do stop and think about it, and I love how in our homework a few weeks ago, we had to talk about, we talked about Paul was groaning. He was so concerned. He was praying for them. And were his concerns founded? Does anybody remember? We had to answer a question in Revelation about the church of Laodicea. Were his concerns grounded? Mm-hmm. Because they were the church that left their first love. So when you start doing that and create this religious checklist where you've got these things to cross off, you're either in danger of creating a measuring rod from you, yourself, and I, which is stinky and really only fools ourselves into thinking we're better because we're better than so-and-so or we're better than such-and-such, even if we never voice it. These are things that we do to ourselves. Or it pushes us to the other extreme, like the Church of Laodicea, where we go through the motions and we feel like we're in a dry desert land and we're not hearing from the Lord, even though we're trying to hear from him. I'm doing the right things. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And there's just no freedom in that because it really is about us. So I feel like it's the hardest thing ever to put it down and to give it to the Lord. And at the same time, it's the freest thing ever to give it to the Lord because he might call you to throw away all your music and to not watch these things, but he's certainly not telling you to do those things so that you appear more holy or impress so-and-so or whatever, right? Or impress yourself even, because the truth is our righteousness is really like filthy rags. It says that in the Bible, right? But I love the timing of God. He's so good and faithful and how everything knits together we could never have coordinated. I'm excited to read or to get into Romans 14 with Dave here soon, as we just did this week. But Lonnie Trujillo came and he was sharing with us that righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness that God puts on us, it's so important to rest in that because it isn't the things that we do that add to our righteousness because we're never going to be good enough. That is the point of the cross, right? We're never going to be able to measure or get closer based on the things that we do. I mean, that was the whole point of the Old Testament, is illustrating the need for a Savior, right? So I asked Andelin to sing that song, The Simple Gospel, and I've only heard it. I heard it a few weeks ago, the first time here, and I didn't know it, and I didn't sing, but I just pondered the words. And that is where I hope that you guys do this with yourself. I'm laying down my religion because I want to know you more. And at first I thought, what? I literally remember, so I was sitting over there where you are, CJ, when that song came on and I just stopped singing and in my little stinky self that I don't know the song. Why are we doing a song we don't know? But then the Lord pierced my heart with it and said, are you laying down your religion so that you know me more? Or are you being religious? Are you going to church on Sunday like you should and serving in Sunday school and helping out with the women's tea and making your tithe? Are you doing that, Kasia, so that you know me? Or are you coming to me to know me? And I feel like that's a scarier proposition. It is, because you can't fake it with God. It's funny because we think we can in the first place, but so my prayer is that we walk boldly in it, that we walk boldly in the fact that we have a simple gospel. So I have a couple more. I mean, I told you it's going to be short. Sorry. It's a devotional tonight. Yay. So the first part of Colossians, I'm just going to read the first part of Colossians 3, because there's our answer, the simple gospel. Colossians, I do know where it is. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So that word if should be since. Since we died in Christ and have been raised again, set your mind on things above. So that's the answer. It is a simple gospel. So first, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And I feel like that says it so well, that it is foolishness, the cross, that Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. And yet we find ourselves in this rat race, at least I do, constantly feeling like I don't measure up. The part of the song said that whole part was, I've been told to feel ashamed. I've been told I don't measure up. You know, sometimes Satan whispers those things to us, but you know who does it louder? I do. I tell myself those things and I add things to my checklist because I feel like it adds, I'm just being honest, because I act like my doing such and such gets God on my good side, so he owes me one. And that's a very scary place to be, because God is most concerned with our heart and knowing us. And it is better, as I have recently told somebody, to go to the Lord and say, just like David, the whiny psalmist. I love the whiny psalmist because I am a whiny psalmist, right? When I go to the Lord and tell him, I don't understand, I'm mad, I don't get why you're not doing this, that honors him more than my checklist and going through the motions. So that's my prayer for us, is that we take this to heart. Mindy opened our study with the Warren Wiersbe quote, that if we were to really apply these things, there would be a revival. And I think that's so, I mean, take any book of the Bible, really. But if we were to really meditate on these things and go, Lord, I'm laying down my religion because I want to know you more. Because you know why? Tetelestai. It is finished. Let's pray.